Australia has become the first country to allow the nationwide use of psychedelic drugs in treatment-resistant depression and post-traumatic stress disorder. Authorised psychiatrists there will be allowed to prescribe psilocybin, a compound found in magic mushrooms, for depression, while MDMA or ecstasy will be legal to help treat PTSD in a therapeutic setting. So could psychedelic drugs be licensed here one day? And if so, how might they complement existing talking therapies? A question I put to Amanda Fielding, who set up the Beckley Foundation to campaign for reform to global drug policy.
I think it's the combination is vital. The psychedelic compound changes the state of the brain. In my hypothesis, which I'm at the moment testing and have been for many years, which is that it's a change of blood in the capillaries, an increase of blood in the capillaries of the brain, thereby giving more energy to the brain. And also there's less blood going to the default mode network. And in conditions of mental illness like depression or addiction, these parts, which make the default mode network, have an excessive amount of activity. So when we saw that their supply of blood was reduced, we then thought this might be a route forward to treat these conditions. And so we did the first study using psilocybin with depression, and it had very successful results. But in order to bring about the changes, the subject of the change needs to be really fully prepared and wanting the change. So the medicine is one aspect, and the setting and the support is another.
And how much firm evidence exists of the efficacy of psilocybin or ketamine, MDMA, LSD on mental health issues?
Well, at the beginning, institutions didn't want to do it because if they get beneficial results, then they were frightened of losing their government grants. But now it's slowly becoming recognised that these compounds really do have an ability to make the brain more neuroplastic. That means it's in a state that it can bring about changes. And so what we need to do is do a lot more research, quickly, fast track it, because the world is suffering, and particularly developed world, is suffering terribly from a ever worsening mental health epidemic. And ours and other research around the world has really clearly demonstrated the potential benefits of this approach.
What about the potential dangers, though? Because there are some health organisations, for example, in Australia, who are urging caution on the country, saying actually we need more research to be carried out before Australia takes that step.
Right. I actually don't agree with that. I think one does need caution. I totally agree. We need to move very cautiously, but not too cautiously so that it blocks the research. It's much more dangerous how it is at the moment, where people don't know what compounds they're getting. So we need a policy which regulates and controls, but permits.
Can you see the UK anytime soon following Australia's example?
I really wish it would move faster. We should set up facilities, carefully controlled facilities, where we can undertake this research. And we must provide legal access with the highest care for people in need. And I started the Beckley Foundation to work with the governments of the world and work from inside, trying to educate them to the potential value for both the individual and society by researching and making use of these compounds for the betterment of humanity. And by that, I mean, they can not only help treat conditions of illness, but they can also enhance creativity, enjoyment, love of nature, love of each other, love of oneself, a sense of beauty, sense of music. They because they're making more of the brain active simultaneously. So I think we must overcome this terror, and with more and more sounds demonstrating their potential use.
Amanda Fielding of the Beckley Foundation.